in. Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Scott Spears along with you on this Monday, May the 7th, beautiful day here in Ohio, 13 minutes past the hour. Nice and sunny and ready for the big primary election tomorrow, which we're going to get into here in just a moment. But I want to give you some programming notes because the big WWGH May is Amazing is truly that. We have some great guests booked for your listening pleasure through the month of May. Coming up on Thursday, May the 17th, we will be joined at 12:10 p.m. by the mother on the Happy Days TV series, Marion Ross, who has just released a new book. So May 17th at 12:10, we'll have Marion Ross. May 17th at 1 p.m., we will have Marion Mayer, Scott Scherzer. On May 16th at 1:10, we will have Emmy Award-winning actor, best known for his portrayal of Lou Grant on The Mary Tyler Moore Show, and Lou Grant. Ed Asner on the 16th at 1:10. Coming up later this week on Wednesday at 1:10, we will be joined by former congressman and star of the Dukes of Hazzard television series. He was Cooter on Dukes of Hazzard, Ben Jones. Coming up tomorrow, primary day here on the program, we will be joined by Bill O'Neill, Democratic primary for governor candidate, at 1:10 tomorrow. We will have David Pepper, chairman of the Ohio Democratic Party, at 12:45 tomorrow. At 1:15 tomorrow, we will have Rich Cordray, frontrunner in the Democratic primary for governor, via telephone tomorrow at 1:10. Coming up today at, or that's 12:15 tomorrow, excuse me, Rich Cordray, 12:15 tomorrow. 1:10 today, we will have 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, live in studio. And coming up in the bottom of this hour, we will have another front runner in the Democratic primary for governor, Dennis Kucinich, and legendary actor Danny Glover, whom Representative Kucinich is traveling around Ohio with. So that, if you can keep it straight, is what's coming up over the next 2 weeks here on WWGH Radio. But for the first half of this hour, we're very proud to welcome somebody to these microphones that has not been with us before. She is currently running as a representative in our district here in Marion against incumbent Republican Jim Jordan. We are so glad to welcome to these microphones for the first time, Janet Garrett. Miss Garrett, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. You have ran against Representative Jordan twice before. What got you in again this time?
Well, everything is different this time. There has been a sea change in the political landscape since the last time I ran. The first time I ran, I was still teaching full-time. I am a teacher of 35 years in public schools, and it was more or less a protest candidacy. And the last time I thought things were going to be different, but we all know how that election turned out. But since then, everything has changed in the political landscape. We've seen a rising up of people at the grassroots level everywhere. We've seen the Indivisible Movement rising up. We've seen the next installment of the women's rights movement with the first starting with the Women's March on Washington and continuing with the Me Too movement. We've seen the next installment of civil rights with the Black Lives Matter. Everything has changed since the last time. So this is our year.
What change, because this is our district, would we see in Marion if you were to be elected in November?
Well, in the first place, we have a representative right now who is attending to his personal agenda and his bid for power in Congress. What you would see in my representation would be someone who is interested in actually representing the interests of the people that live here and serving their needs rather than a bid for power. Our representative has been in office for 11 years. He has no legislative successes, no initiatives in the district. He has taken a lot of money from large donors and enriched himself, as well as tried to make a bid for power, and that has come at a cost to the people in this district. I am extremely interested in helping out people in this district. First of all, we've got an opioid epidemic, which is just completely out of control. His response to this is that it's best handled by the families and the churches, and he said this over and over again. I maintain that if the families and the churches could handle this problem, it would have already been handled. This is out of their control. So we need, this is a situation that we need the federal government to step up and allow the resources to all of the districts, and especially the fourth district, because we are ground zero for this epidemic. There's a lot of other issues that really need to be addressed. Our educational system, which is very near and dear to my heart since I'm a retired school teacher, our educational system is in a shambles. I don't think anybody thinks that it's doing a great job. And part of the reason is because of the testing craze, which is not teaching our children, but instead enriching the test-making companies. So we've got to get rid of the testing and turn the decision-making back over to the local level. We've got to fix the funding for education so that our children are better served. You know, look, if we don't do a good job of educating our children, America will not be able to compete in the global economy for the long term. The children are our future. We have to take care of them. I'm also extremely concerned about health care. Everybody knows our health care system is broken. We need to get somehow or another, we need to get to universal health care in this country. I think Medicare for all could work. It doesn't have to be that, in my opinion. I would support anything that would give us universal health care from the cradle to the grave. I think the system that we've got right now with health care that is tied to employer benefits has got financial limitations, and obviously it's got limitations for people who are not employed. So we need to get our arms around this and provide for our people. We're the only industrialized country that doesn't have universal health care.
What should people in this district know about Janet Garrett, the person?
Well, I am, as I said, I've taught for 35 years. I've lived in Ohio my whole life. I am a former Peace Corps volunteer. During the 35 years that I taught, I was on the executive council of my teachers' union because I not only cared about my students, I also cared about my colleagues. I was in various offices, including president. I was at the table many, many times. I am a staunch supporter. And the attitude that you have when you're working in a public school is that we take everybody, we take care of everybody, and that's the attitude that I take to public office. I am out here because I taught all those children for all those years to help to prepare them for their future, and now I believe their future is at risk. It is becoming harder and harder for people to find jobs that pay a living wage, and we have to make sure that our children have got a bright future. So I'm out here fighting for them. I'm out here fighting for all of the people that live in this district.
I certainly understand that you say this time is different for the reasons that you stated, but in the last two elections, there was barely any movement in the vote count.
Right.
right, right. In 2000.
And I attribute that to the climate that was going on in both of those elections. And as we know, elections are all about timing. This is our time.
In those elections, Congressman Jordan won by double digits.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you feel he is popular in this district? If you win by a few points, that's one thing. But double digits, double the vote period, 68% to 32%, what keeps him in office here?
Well, there's two reasons. It's the gerrymandering, which... If anybody, I encourage your listeners to look at a map of what the 4th Congressional District looks like. The demographics in this district roughly mirror the demographics in Alabama. And I think there are a lot of people in this district who don't know who's representing them. And I base that on my conversations with people in all of the counties. A lot of people don't know who's representing them. So if they don't know who's representing them, they definitely don't know what his agenda is. I think if people really knew who was representing them and what he was doing or not doing for them, they would change their minds. So it's our job to make sure that the people know what the difference is.
It's kind of an interesting election for Representative Jordan as well, because I think it's pretty clear that if he were to win re-election, he would also like to be elected Speaker of the House. Do you think that will make him a much more fierce opponent than he has been in the past?
Well, in the first place, I want to say that I don't think he has a chance to get elected as Speaker. He is such an extremist. He will probably get the votes of the people that are in the Freedom Caucus, which is the group that he co-founded. They're a group of right-wing, I would say extremists. But most people aren't extremists. And I would say even most Republicans aren't extremists. So you can't get elected in the House to Speaker with just 40 votes. He's made a lot of enemies. John Boehner called him a legislative terrorist. And John Boehner is in his own party. So that's the attitude that a lot of people, I think, have got about him. I think he's dreaming if he thinks he can get the speakership. First of all, I think that the House is going to flip during the next one, so it won't be a Republican anyway. And even if it was, I don't think that Jim Jordan would get enough votes to get the speakership. I know that that's his ambition. He's made that clear, but I think he's dreaming.
Janet, you were in Marion last week, and you were talking at the same event that Rich Cordray was at. Tomorrow, as we head into the primary, do you support any of the gubernatorial candidates on the Democratic side?
I do. I really like Cordray. I voted for Cordray myself. I already voted. I think we've got some good candidates on the Democratic side, but the fact that Cordray has got the kind of record that he has, he was our attorney general, he has been in government for the longest time, and he also has got the experience of being the head of the Consumer Protection Agency, which I think is just fabulous to have a governor with that kind of mindset. That would be just wonderful. You know that he would be thinking about the needs and wishes of the citizens. So I voted for Cordray.
Money is an issue in campaigns, and when you were in Marion last week, one thing you discussed is that you had seen Representative Jordan on Anderson Cooper. That is free publicity for him. They like to put him on because of the things he says. How do you combat that?
We are out in the public every day. We're trying to raise an army of volunteers. And so if any of your listeners are interested in helping out, Marion County is going to be very important to the election, and we would appreciate any support. When you've got people knocking on your door, it counteracts anything that you see on the TV or any mailers that you come out. So that's what we need to do.
You had talked about possibly the House flipping in November. A lot of people feel that that could happen. But I also know that the Republican Party, Republicans in Congress, are using as a fundraising tool the fact that they say, well, if Democrats get in power, they're going to vote to impeach President Trump. Would you vote to impeach President Trump?
Well, here's the thing. There is an investigation going on right now, and we have not seen any of the conclusions from that investigation. If the investigation shows that that Donald Trump is innocent of collusion with the Russians, then no one is going to be voting for impeachment. On the other hand, if the investigation shows that he is guilty, then the right thing to do would be to impeach him. So I am going to adopt a wait-and-see attitude. I think that this investigation needs to go forward. I think the American people deserve to know the truth of what has happened, one way or the other. And I'm not going to jump to conclusions until the investigation is done. Robert Mueller has played his cards very close to the chest. He does not allow people to see what he knows. So we'll wait and see.
It's interesting because we do have this gubernatorial race going on here in Ohio. It does look like Mike DeWine is going to be the Republican nominee. We currently have a popular governor who is a Republican, who I think has ambitions beyond that. Hillary Clinton in 2016 did get more votes than President Trump, but not in Ohio. In Ohio, she lost by a pretty good size margin. Is Ohio still heavily Republican?
I think that there were a lot of Democrats that stayed home in the last election. Ohio has traditionally been a bellwether state because it's roughly half and half. I believe it still is.
So how do we get those people out? How would you get those people out this time to vote for you when it's not a presidential year?
Well, like I said, we're trying to raise an army of volunteers to go get out and go door to door and talk to people about how critical this election is. You know, when I talk to groups, I ask them, please go home and write down on a card for yourself why this election is critical, and it's critical for so many reasons. First of all, we've got to get the right person in the governorship, because the census is going to happen during his watch. And we do have an initiative for ending the gerrymandering, which I hope and pray will pass, because I don't think that what we've got right now is democracy. I think that we need to have competitive districts in order to have democracy, but that governor will have a hand in what happens for the districts next time.
Janet, before we let you go, speaking to the voters right now, what would you like to say to them as they go out and vote tomorrow in this primary and a few short months from now go out and vote in November?
Well, I would like them to think about whether they would trust a person who has been a lifelong politician, who has no legislative success, who clearly has personal power ambitions, whether they would trust that person or whether they would trust a person who has worked selflessly for an entire working career as a public school teacher. I have seen the issues that people struggle with. I know their struggles. Their struggles are my struggles. And I am out here not to advance my personal power. I am out here because I want to help. So I think people need to think about who they want, who they would trust to make decisions that affect their lives.
Janet Garrett running against Representative Jim Jordan in the November election. Janet, thank you so much for coming on, and I hope we can talk again in the future.
I would be happy to do that, and thank you for asking me.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Janet Garrett. We're going to take a quick break. Come back right after this with Dennis Kucinich and Danny Glover.
Hello, this is Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and you know, Charlie Evers is a Marion radio legend, and you can catch him right here on WWGH 107.1 FM and streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Charlie also takes your calls on anything under the sun by calling this number, 740-383-9944. Speedy delivery.
The Fahey Bank Charlie Evers Show every Wednesday and Thursday, 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon, and Friday, 1:10 p.m. till 3 p.m. on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. This is Scott Spears, and you're tuned to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, and we are just under 24 hours away from the gubernatorial primary here in Ohio. And on the Democratic side, boy, do we have what they call a barn burner, as Dennis Kucinich and Rich Cordray campaign to be the Democratic candidate for governor in Ohio. And as of Friday, a Baldwin-Wallace poll shows that 41% of Democratic voters in Ohio are still undecided. It's going to be a very interesting day tomorrow, and we are so proud for these 25 minutes to be joined by one of the front runners, former representative here in Ohio, Dennis Kucinich, and a gentleman who's campaigning with him, legendary actor from The Color Purple and Lethal Weapon series, Danny Glover. Thank you both for joining us.
Well, it's good to be with you, Scott. And Danny and I are driving right now down to Columbus for a rally with our campaign workers there. And yesterday we had a tremendous rally in the on the east side of Cleveland, and I think it really inspired people. We had people just flocking to our rally right across the street from the Board of Elections, and Danny gave a very inspiring speech on behalf of myself and Tara Samples. Pointed out the historical nature of this campaign, where Councilwoman Samples, when elected, will be the first African American ever elected to a statewide Democrat ever elected a statewide ticket in the history of the state. So we're very excited about it, and it seems that momentum's in our direction. Take direction. People want a real choice. They want a real progressive. Somebody that's a real change. They don't want Republican light. They want somebody who's ready to take it to the Republicans in the general election. And they know that I can. And they also know, regretfully, that Richard Cordray lost to Mike DeWine by 50,000 votes in an election the last time they met. So, you know, I'm ready for this election. I'm ready to win. And all we need are the votes of people in Marion to make it happen.
Why would you make a better governor than Rich Cordray?
Well, you know, we've got to look at what we stand for. He stands for the death penalty. I'm against it. He stands for fracking, which means our water supply is going to be contaminated. I'm opposed to fracking. He stands for ready availability of assault weapons. I'm totally opposed to that. I want to ban those weapons because they have the potential of great risk for our communities, particularly our children and their schools. We've got to take a totally different approach on that. And, you know, I'm for the legalization of marijuana and the tax dollars that will bring in, license it in some ways, go to a rock concert. It's already been legalized. We've got to realize that Democrats can stand for things that are important. Let me give you an example, healthcare for all. I stand for a single-payer Medicare for all type system in Ohio. He doesn't want to do that. I mean, you know, there's a big difference in what our candidacies represent for Ohio. And so those who try to say, well, there's not really much of a difference between the two, haven't been following the election, haven't been listening to what the candidates have said. So I'm having a chance to talk to you now in Marion. And I'm very grateful to do that because it's a day before the election. People need to know how important it is to vote, and they really can change things. We're talking about changing the Democratic Party and what it stands for. And people know that if they put me and Tara Samples in the general election, we're going to lead Ohio to a whole new day, and where people will have more money, where they'll have better jobs, where they'll have health care, and their kids will be able to go to college. First 2 years tuition-free, our public schools will get the revenue they need, our local government will get the revenue they've been anticipating but not received for years. So we're looking at a whole new approach here, and we're ready for it. Believe me, we are ready for it. And to have Danny Glover with us on this occasion of this most important primary election in the country means everything.
You know, Representative Kucinich, when you're in politics for over 50 years, people certainly know the name. What do you think the biggest misconception is people have about you?
I don't think in those terms. I think people know me as a fighter. They know me as someone who doesn't quit, who doesn't back down, who's for working people, who is relentless in standing up, who's not afraid of anybody. I mean, I think, you know, that's the way that I'm seen. I don't think in terms of misconceptions because my whole consciousness is based on the positive, on the unfolding of possibilities, on making things happen, and that's what I do, and that's why I, you know, with the people's help in the primary tomorrow, I can go on to become not only the Democratic nominee, but it's also why I'll win in the general election, because Republicans also want someone who's dynamic and energetic and who's not afraid and is ready to take the challenges forward. This state is less ideological and less party-oriented than people would realize.
When your running mate, Tara Samples, was here in Marion, and we had a great time with her, that day was the day the story broke about the $20,000 speaking fee to what they called pro-Syrian groups. You have agreed to give that money back. What happened there? Do you regret doing that?
Well, you know what? There's all kinds of surprises in life, and you move on. And I stand for peace, always have. Unlike many people in Congress who voted for wars, I led the effort to end those wars and to stop funding them. And you have to keep in mind, there are people inside the Democratic Party who vote for war. And this is the biggest swindle in our country, where we keep spending $1 trillion a year on military buildups, on war, and we tell the people then we don't have enough money for jobs and healthcare and education. So I stand to challenge that whole system, and I'll be one of the best-equipped governors that Ohio's ever had in terms of understanding the connection between what happens in the world and what happens in the neighborhood. So, you know, that's why people, when they vote for me, they get somebody who has a depth of experience and is ready to stand up and speak out at any time in the cause of peace.
If things do not turn out your way tomorrow, would you ever run as an independent?
Well, you know what? I explained earlier that I look at things as in their possibilities and their in what I'm trying to achieve. I don't pay any attention to any outcome that is adverse to what I'm trying to achieve. So, you know, I can't even answer that question.
But not a definite no.
No, you shouldn't interpret it that way. Oh. What I'm saying is I don't even think in the terms of the question that you raised.
Guns have become a big issue in this campaign after the shooting in Florida. How do you feel, what is the biggest difference between you and Rich Cordray when it comes to gun rights, gun issues, Second Amendment in Ohio?
Well, there's a different thing. You know, everyone understands the Second Amendment, according to the Supreme Court, is an individual right. But you have to know that recently, a Virginia Federal Court of Appeals ruled that assault weapons are weapons of war, and they're not covered under the Second Amendment. The Supreme Court declined to overturn, to hear a case to try to even overturn that decision. So the law of the land right now is that assault weapons are weapons of war and are not covered by the Second Amendment. Now, Mr. Cordray knocked out Cleveland's assault weapons ban when he was Attorney General. He went on to the, and that affected every community in Ohio, and he did that on behalf of the NRA. He got an A for the NRA for his efforts. He went to the U.S. Supreme Court and knocked out Chicago's gun laws, which affected every city in the country. And so we're looking at a person who really is a pawn of the NRA. I mean, to put it charitably, he's a pawn of the NRA. And I'm not. I'm not a pawn of anybody. Nobody owns me. Nobody can influence me. I'm there for the people. We have to recognize that these guns are dangerous. You know, anybody who's ever been in a shopping mall, at a church, at a concert, at a sports event, has to be aware that there's always this opportunity. Somebody just come forward and start spraying with a gun. But these guns are different. They have the capacity to fire a lot of bullets in a short period of time and kill a lot of people. That's why they're made. They're made to kill people in wars. Why in the world are we bringing these wars back to our communities? What's going on here? You know, the weapons industry makes about $8 billion worth of guns in this country. They're assault weapons. Well, I'm sorry. You know, if we don't want wars here at home, we don't want weapons of wars in our streets. So I say ban them. Get them out of the hands of people who want to do others harm. And you know what? That's one of the big differences in this campaign. Can you imagine if Democrats nominate somebody who is all in on assault weapons, what the message is going to be? We're just going to have these things. We'll have even more of them. We can't do that. We can't wait for another Parkland to have us realize how serious an issue this is.
Have two questions, Representative Kucinich, and then we'd like to speak with Mr. Glover for a few minutes. Baldwin Wallace's poll on Friday, 41% of Democratic voters are still undecided. Maybe that's changed over the weekend. But as of Friday, why still so many undecided? More undecided than willing to say they're for anybody else.
Well, I don't put any credence at poll one way or another. I think that as people go to the polls tomorrow, they're not going to go to the polls without having their minds made up. Everyone who goes to the polls will be decided. We'll see what the turnout factors are. As people make a decision and they know that the Kucinich samples ticket represents real change, represents the hope of the Democratic Party in Ohio to finally be relevant to the lives of people for jobs and health care and education and for safe neighborhoods and for clean air and clean water. When people realize that, they wake up tomorrow morning and they say, hey, I have a real choice here. I'm going to go vote for Kucinich and Samples. I think that when that happens, it's going to start to change the outcome, and that by the time all the votes are in tomorrow night, there's an excellent chance that we will emerge victorious.
In the last presidential election, 2016, Donald Trump, President Trump, won the state by quite a large margin. When Tara Samples was here, she said Representative Kucinich was Bernie before he was Bernie. You campaigned for Bernie Sanders. In 2016, did you vote for President Trump?
You know, I have never, in any interview I've ever done, ever discussed who I voted for. And that's been during my whole life. So I'm going to pretty much keep that practice going. You know, my vote, like every one of your listeners, is a private matter. And it's going to continue to be that way. And I think that our listeners deserve the same courtesy as well.
But you did support Bernie in the primary.
Oh, well, I did. That was no secret.
Right. But in the general, you'd like to keep that?
Well, private. You know what? Again, my vote is my vote.
Representative Kucinich, I thank you so much. If we could speak to Mr. Glover, that would be great.
Yeah. Sure. Well, I'm going to now give the phone to Danny Glover. Mr. Glover, this is Scott Spears from Marion, Ohio. He's their talk show host and their news guy, and he'd like to speak to you. Here he is.
Did you vote for President Trump?
You know, I have never, in any interview I've ever done, ever discussed who I voted for. And that's been during my whole life. So I'm going to pretty much keep that practice going. You know, my vote, like every one of your listeners, is a private matter. And it's going to continue to be that way. And I think that our listeners deserve the same courtesy as well.
But you did support Bernie in the primary.
Oh, well, I did. That was no secret.
Right. But in the general, you'd like to keep that?
Well, private. You know what? Again, my vote is my vote.
Representative Kucinich, I thank you so much. If we could speak to Mr. Glover, that would be great.
Yeah. Sure. Well, I'm going to now give the phone to Danny Glover. Mr. Glover, this is Scott Spears from Marion, Ohio. He's their talk show host and their news guy, and he'd like to speak to you. Here he is.
Hello, how you doing, Scott?
Hey, Mr. Glover, how are you?
I'm good, good.
What brings you to Ohio to campaign for Representative Kucinich?
Well, first of all, I think that the ticket of Dennis Kucinich and Tara Samples is the most, one of the most engaging and most transformative tickets, I think, in any gubernatorial election that's happening, any primary that's happening, and it promises to be something extraordinary in changing the relationship that the Democratic Party has to citizens and its people.
What is the biggest issue you feel Dennis can change in Ohio? Is it the gun issue?
Well, there have been many issues. You know, and I think that Dennis works from the capacity of understanding the intersectionality that's among issues. That the issue around governance, the issues around health care, the issues around gainful employment and a living wage, the issues around police accountability, all those things are connected, and Dennis understands that. You know, certainly the statement that's been made around weapons that have been used to harm children and people, the extraordinary movement of just young people organizing around weapons and challenging the NRA. I mean, those are major important things that are happening, and a reacculturation that is happening within this country as well, among young people. These are not the victims, the most likely victims of gun violence are out there protesting. So that's important. That's important without a doubt. And if Ohio's able to lead the way and create another narrative in terms of guns and et cetera, it's going to be huge for the rest of the country. But as I said before, it's all the issues. You can't just solve and think that you can attack one issue without understanding what is the relationship between each of them to each other. I mean, the fact that we talk about fracking, you know, all the movies that have been done, all the documentaries that have been done, all the research that's been done, certainly the work of Bill McKibben and others who've been talking about climate change, you know, they've said techniques like fracking could be the end game for us and the planet. And yet we persist in pushing this forward. So we're going to talk about environmental issues. Those are important as well. So I think what the ticket of Samples and Kucinich represent is something that is going to changed the nature of the Democratic Party as well. And we know, let's not pretend, there's a battle going on within the Democratic Party in every section of the country. You know, when is the Democratic Party going to stand up and be the voice and continue to reclaim the legacy it has as for working people? When is the Democratic Party going to be the Democratic Party that some of us embraced as we were young because of this work within the civil rights movement and the push forward for equal justice and justice? And when is it going to be a party where the party is not afraid to talk about the issues around war, the issues around racism, the issues of that around those two particular things? And that's one of the things that, and I think the possibility of changing that narrative, the changing direction in compliance with what young people, but all people want. You know, Dr. King often said that that peace is not simply the absence of conflict or tension, but the presence of justice.
With about 2 minutes left here, as you've been campaigning with Representative Kucinich, how have the crowds been? What have you noticed? What's going on here in Ohio?
Well, I had the good fortune of going to several churches yesterday, three churches yesterday. And this is, I just arrived here early Sunday morning, three churches. And certainly the churches were energized at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning, and the campaign of souls to the polls, getting them out to come out and vote Sunday after church before 5 o'clock. So I watched the reception in a local restaurant here in Cleveland, a popular restaurant, where Dennis was there, and certainly there are people who are excited about it. I've talked to young people on the street, young millennials, and they're excited about this at this moment as well.
Mr. Glover, before we part ways here, because I know you're headed to a campaign event, you're speaking to the Ohio voters right now, 24 hours before primary day. What can you say to them to help them support the candidate who you support, Representative Dennis Kucinich?
It's of a lifetime to change not only Ohio, but change the direction of this country. We need you at the polls. We need you there behind the candidates for change. And that's Dennis Kucinich and Taylor Samples.
Legendary actor Danny Glover campaigning with Representative Dennis Kucinich today in Ohio. Have a great time in Columbus, and thank you so much for coming on with us today, Mr. Glover, and thank Representative Kucinich as well.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And there you go, Representative Dennis Kucinich and actor Danny Glover in Columbus campaigning in this big gubernatorial race that we have coming up here tomorrow. Do want to remind you, coming up next hour, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, will weigh in. She is the treasurer for the Rich Cordray campaign, and tomorrow in the Essence of Fair Time, Rich Cordray will be with us at 12:15 tomorrow to maybe answer some of the charges or claims that were made by Dennis Kucinich in the last hour there. But Rich Cordray will be with us tomorrow at 12:15, as will David Pepper, head of the Democratic Party in Ohio. 12:45 tomorrow, David Pepper will be with us. And then at 1:10 tomorrow, we will have Bill O'Neill in studio as well. So running the gamut here during election time. And of course, we thank Janet Garrett for coming on earlier on this hour, and Dennis Kucinich and Danny Glover. Coming up in this month, the amazing month of May, as we're calling it, on May 17th, we will be joined by the mayor of the city of Marion at 1:10, Mayor Scott Schertzer, on May 17th. Also on May 17th, do you remember the mother on the TV series Happy Days? Marion Ross will be with us at 12:10 on May 17th, discussing her new book. On the 16th of May at 1:10, we'll be joined by Emmy-winning actor, best known for his work as Lou Grant, on the Mary Tyler Moore Show in the TV series Lou Grant, Ed Asner on May 16th at 1:10. And Wednesday this week at 1:10, we'll be joined by Ben Jones, who was on the television series The Dukes of Hazzard, and also was a U.S. congressman at one point. So all that coming up as the week progresses. And don't forget, tomorrow is primary day here in Ohio, and you will not want to miss that. How will it turn out? On the Republican side, we have Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, Attorney General Mike DeWine, and on the Democratic side, Rich Cordray, Dennis Kucinich, Bill O'Neill, and Joe Schiavone. We've got about 50 seconds left in this hour. Don't forget, coming up next hour, Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States, and that's going to be a fun conversation. Looming the day before the big primary day in Ohio, and we'll talk a little bit about this Baldwin-Wallace poll. College poll that came out last Friday that says 41% of Democratic primary voters are still undecided. Is that true? Is that false? I guess we'll all find out tomorrow as things spread out here in Ohio. You're tuned into WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. And don't forget, you can also download the free TuneIn app and listen on any mobile device anywhere in the world. Be back in 10 minutes with Mary Ellen Withrow.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From legendary comedian Kay Ballard,